Welcome to the Analytics Dynasty. This is Snap Reactions, running back position, week 5. James Conner, 11 touches to Chase Edmonds, 9. Chase Edmonds was banged up a little bit. It's 13.4 touches per game for Conner, 14.4 for Edmonds. Edmonds, 16th in terms of points per game at 13.2. 27th for James Conner at 11.5. Talked last week about their passing game splits. I think that's a big difference between the two of them. James Conner got in the end zone this week. Mike Davis. So touches for Mike Davis through 5 weeks. 18, 16, 16, 15, 15. Points. 10.2, 13.3, 11, 10.6, 14.1. It's pretty cut and dry with him there. 41 rushes for Patterson, 25 catches so far. He has 15% of the team targets. His touches so far, 9, 12, 13, 11, 21. So this marked a high water point of him thus far. Again, he did a lot on the ground this week. They were up pretty big and didn't have a particularly good passing offense in terms of weapons to go outside of Pitts. You know, they lost Russell Gage and Calvin Ridley for the week. So it was very Cordarrelle Patterson-centric position. I think we have new developments here for the running back position for the Bills. Zach Moss, DNP, and then we're going to go touches the next four games. So DNP in week 1, 10, 16, 14, and 14. Singletary, 14, 15, 12, 15, 7. 18 routes for Moss this week, 8 for Singletary. So that's a big difference there in terms of things potentially moving. I'm not sure how confident I would feel in starting said running back. At this point, I have a little bit of pause with the entire situation just because I think it can fluctuate week to week. But I do think, like, if I were to sort of have to pick one gun to my head, I'd probably pick Moss. The other thing, too, is you're going to get their scoring margin so far this year is just outrageous. So 1 by 35, 1 by 22, 1 by 40, 1 by 18. That includes a divisional road game and a game against the defending AFC championship game. So I think that Moss is definitely their kind of salt the game away type team. Coming up, they have Tennessee on Monday night on the road. Then they have a bye, and then they're home against Miami. And then they're at Jacksonville, at the Jets, home against the Colts before setting up a Thanksgiving game, which I didn't realize until just now. It's a Thanksgiving game in New Orleans in prime time. So that one's going to be awesome. But a good stretch of games here where I think they can certainly deploy their running game. And even though that's not, you know, they don't do a ton of it per se, I think that they can, and they're middle of the pack in terms of rushing, in terms of drop back percentage. So that's 61.5 basically. Again, they run it a lot with the quarterback, so it's not entirely indicative of the running back performance. But you see, you get the opportunity for, there's a 15 touch a game split here. There's a 20 touch, 18 touch per game split here. If it were to really break in Moss's favor, I'm not sure that it will, but I do think that there's opportunity there for sure. Chuba Hubbard's the clear injury away guy in Carolina when there is no Christian McCaffrey. He had 29 touches, 1.94 yards per route run. He goes 24 carries north of 100 yards, 5 receptions, 33 yards, 4 touches for Royce Freeman. So that gives you an indication there. It's a split between Damien Williams and Khalil Herbert, both 18 touches, 31 snaps for Williams, 34 for Herbert. I think it's interesting here in terms of it's 10 routes for Williams, 7 for Herbert, and they both go north of 60 yards. It's 64 yards for Williams, 75 for Herbert, and Williams gets in the end zone. I'm not sure this is necessarily the clear indication, clear situation here. So I think Herbert definitely going to be an add this week for sure. Because I don't know if there's anyone behind, you know, if Williams is hurt, I'm not sure what there is behind Williams that could 50-50 split with Herbert. So I think that's interesting. Pirine, this is a weird game for Cincinnati. Pirine comes in and plays this game ahead of Mixon, 41 snaps to 19 for Mixon. He runs 25 routes to 8 for Mixon. It's almost like they should have just had Mixon inactive. I don't know exactly why they did that the way they did, but I don't think it's anything to write home about in terms of like season changing. I'd keep an eye on it, but I think if anything, it goes to show that they have pretty good feelings about Pirine being able to do everything, considering that he went 3-1 over Mixon in the routes run department. 52% of seasonal snaps for Nick Chubb, 45% for Hunt. Hunt is at 0.48 warp, and Chubb is at 0.42 warp, so they're up in the top 12 of the position at present. It's the last 3 weeks, it's been 22 touches each game for Nick Chubb. It's a little bit more variable, but you're looking in the mid to high teens for Kareem Hunt. Again, he's getting much more of the receiving work ultimately. But I will say this. The routes, 63 routes for Chubb, 70 for Hunt. It's a lot different about how they're producing on them. Only 5 targets for Chubb, 20 for Hunt. So real big difference there in terms of how they're used, but I think that's notable. The Zeke, right? Zeke is, he was injured by a pylon apparently this weekend, so just sort of be aware of that. 18.8 touches per game, north of 20 the past 3 weeks. Pollard had a high water mark of 18 this past week, but that was in a game where Zeke had 23. So it's a big time difference in terms of routes as well. 126 routes for Zeke, 43 for Pollard. So it's a clear advantage for Zeke over Pollard at this point, despite some early concerns at the position. Notably, it's a difference in terms of yards per route run. Pollard north of 2, actually, and Zeke less than a half. Melvin Gordon, 20th in terms of scoring at the position, 31st for Javonte Williams. He's essentially a replacement level player at this point. 0.35 missed tackles forced per attempt. That is number one in the league amongst qualifiers. You're getting basically 13 touches per game out of Javonte Williams, 14 for Melvin Gordon. DeAndre Swift is a monster, leading the league, or up at the top of the league, I should say, in routes run. 136 routes. It's top 5 in the league. Yards per route run is basically the same between him and Williams. So Swift 1.8, Williams 1.85. That is notable distinction there. 16.2 points. 16.2 touches per game for Swift, 14 for Jamal Williams. Williams at running back 19, Swift at running back 7 so far on the season. Double-digit touches here for A.J. Dillon the past 2 weeks, 18 and 18 for Aaron Jones after two 20-plus touch games in weeks 2 and 3. So some interesting uptake there. A.J. Dillon, 1.9 yards per route run on 46 routes so far this season. 1.2 for Aaron Jones at 108 routes run so far this season. Houston's kind of a disaster. Ingram ranks 54th in terms of scoring at this point, and he's basically the run-centric guy. 46 for David Johnson. He's the pass-catching guy. It's an absolute wasteland. I had said this a couple weeks ago about the Jets. I believe it now about Houston. I think you can feel fine cutting the starting running back for a team, which is just ludicrous to say given how much I love running backs. James Robinson ranks 2nd in terms of PFF grade at the position. He is number 1 in yards after contact per attempt. So what's going to be interesting is what the third coaching staff that he has played for thinks about him going forward. But currently he is running back 10 on the season. He has a warp of 0.42. Kansas City, it looks like Clyde Edwards-Helaire is hurt. Has an MCL sprain. Quote, a few weeks, looks like the thing. 14.6 touches per game for him. It's been 6.6 for Darrell Williams. What'll be interesting to see is where that goes. So we're talking north of 21. What's that split? Is it 15 or 16 for Darrell Williams and some residual for someone like Jerick McKinnon? That'd be really interesting because you're going to see a potential uptick there. They're basically the same guy in terms of yards per route run and yards after contact per attempt. So you're basically going to see Williams a lot look like Clyde Edwards-Helaire so far. So that would be the thing in terms of like bang for your buck type performance. That would be the thing that I would look for. Again, it's been largely replacement level for Clyde Edwards-Helaire. He's basically at 0.12 warp. So not a ton there over replacement level. Again, 11.3 points per game. I think that you're definitely hoping for more than that for Darrell Williams. And you could see, you know, if you see 10 to 20% uptick in some of the touches just by the fact that it consolidates around him. And instead of it being 14.6 touches and then 6.6 for Darrell Williams, it's, you know, 16 touches, 17 touches for Darrell Williams and, you know, 5 for Jerick McKinnon, something like that. I think you could see an uptick there as well. They're essentially the same efficiency players between Williams and Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Next few games, notably at Washington, at Tennessee, home against the Giants on Monday Night Football, and then home against Green Bay. So you are going to get some opportunities here and some potential game scripts that might be very nice. The Chargers, Austin Ekeler is running back 2. 2 Joshua Kelly touches this week are the only 2 from their non-Ekeler running backs. Looks like he plays ahead of Roundtree, but take 2-0 for what it's worth. And Justin Jackson on the injured list out this week. Darrell Henderson is at 16.6 points per game. That's 13th. Sonny Michel, 5.6 points per game. That is 61. 44 snaps for Henderson, 23 for Michel, 18 touches for Henderson, and 12 for Michel. So a pretty healthy split there. I will note that I think that Michelle's role has grown, even though if it's still, you know, 60-40 in terms of Henderson to Michel, it's up from what it was earlier on in the season in the pre-Darrell Henderson in-season injury role. Josh Jacobs, 14.8 points per game. That's good for 18th, so right in the running back 2 range there. He had 19 routes this week. He goes 5 targets, 4 receptions, 19 yards, so clocks in exactly at 1 yard per route run. I think the notable thing is when you look at this, 6-4 Drake. When you combine weeks 1, 4, and 5, which are the weeks that Jacobs has played, Jacobs' receiving line, 12 targets, 10 receptions, 42 yards, 64 targets. Drake, 6 targets, half the targets, half the receptions. He has slightly more yards, though, so he goes 6 targets, 5 receptions, 59 yards on 44 routes. So to say that Jacobs is having a big chunk of his passing game work eaten into, I just don't think that is actually true. It's actually trending in a better direction for him as of late and this year compared to prior years. So we'll see if he can get some, let's see if he can get a couple chunk plays out of the passing game and really see an uptick in his value. But I think the room is there for him to uptick. 15 touches this week for Gaskin, 4 for Ahmed, 0 for Malcolm Brown. I still don't feel any faith or security in that backfield, so I'm not going to say that he's reaching Tevin Coleman-level cut, but it gives me some pause and concern there. Alexander Mattison, 32 touches in both games that Dalvin Cook has not played. He has 80 total touches on the season, 61 for Dalvin Cook. Just outrageous. He is 2.07 yards per route run on the season, 1.09 for Dalvin Cook. So essentially, I mean, I'm not going to say he's a better version of Dalvin Cook because that'd be heresy, but he is going to get you Dalvin Cook type usage, Dalvin Cook type workloads, Dalvin Cook type production when Dalvin Cook is out. So we'll see here. They have another game coming up, and then they're on a bye. We'll see if Cook potentially misses the game this week, and we could be in for another Alexander Mattison week. Damian Harris was injured this week. The past five games, 13.7 points per game, 13.4, 3.1, 4.6, 11.8. It's basically a touchdown or not. He's basically been essentially a replacement-level player. Ramondre Stevenson, 11 touches and performs under expectation. So we'll see what Harris's work is ultimately. 21 touches for Kamara in week five. When you look at his routes, he had 24 routes. He had 20 last week. It was blanked in the receiving game. This is something I found notable. So I went back through his career. In his rookie year, he ran 21.4 routes per game. In 2018, 25.9. 2019, 26.4. 2020, 26.4. It was actually 26.7 in 2019, and then 26.4 in 2020. This year, 20. So way down, almost six down basically on over the past year, over the past 3 years, it's between 5.9 to 6.7 routes down per game. A big, big limiting factor in what their offense can offer there. Without Kamara just getting the same level of production, it's going to be tough for him to sort of reach those elite levels. 19 touches for Devontae Booker. I mentioned the Saquon Barkley ankle injury over on the Sunday Night Reaction show. I don't think it's going to be as big of a deal as it looked, is the long story short. I had exactly what happened to him happen to me when I took my shoe off it. I don't know if I could have played on it, but when I took my shoe off, it was like it exploded. But again, it was ice recovery for a few days, and I probably played before I should have, but that's more idiocy than anything really about the injury per se. He was replaced by Devontae Booker on the season. Devontae Booker, 103 out of 103 PFF qualifiers. Someone has to be last in this year, Devontae Booker. Next four games, home against the Rams, and then home against the Panthers, at Kansas City, home against the Raiders. So you could potentially see zero games where they're favored, especially if Daniel Jones is going to miss time with his concussion. That gives me pause and concern about Booker, and I think maybe his skills are eroding too. Although in the passing game, I think he has a little bit something to offer. I think he probably collects some residual shares of the other guys there, Brightwell maybe as well, and any Booker shares that have been out there. But honestly, with the way he's playing and maybe the way that this is setting up, I don't necessarily feel great about having him. The Jets, I think we have an answer to who their starter is going to be. 11 touches, 14 touches, and 13 touches over the past 3 weeks for Michael Carter. No one else above him had six in any other week. So he had more than six in any other week. Ty Johnson, 4, 5, 6, and Tevin Coleman, DNP, 6 and 3 the past 3 weeks. So that is definitely trending towards him. The problem is they're just not very good. So that's my cause for concern. I know there was some concern about Kenneth Gainwell eating into Miles Sanders' role. Miles Sanders, 26 touches over the past 2 weeks, only 12 for Gainwell. That's 9 and then 3 touches the last 2 weeks for Gainwell. Boston Scott, absolutely cuttable, 2 touches on the season, can't have that. Sanders, 27 routes this past week, 8 for Gainwell. So that's a pretty clear indication for me. It is still Sanders, even though maybe the volume isn't anything more than like running back 2 on a weekly basis, like lower end. It's still clear to me that Gainwell is not the dude there, despite rumors and machinations that may have been true earlier in the season. Najee Harris is just absurd. 161 routes leads the league in routes. 55.8% of his points are receiving. He's 41st in terms of overall qualifiers at the position for running backs. In terms of his grade. So above average and massive usage. awaiting what the revelations about what Chris Carson will have in his return and sort of when he comes back. 17 touches for Alex Collins, 46 snaps, 6 touches for DJ Dallas, 14 snaps, 2 touches for Travis Homer, 8 snaps. I think that gives you a good inclination of sort of what the usage patterns are. Basically 66 or so percent for Collins, I think is what you could expect, and feel pretty confident about starting him based on the matchup ultimately. And they did, they played a good chunk of snaps as well. They played almost 70 snaps in that game. And we'll see what happens with the change of quarterback. I think that's going to be interesting as well. Elijah Mitchell, we have a very clear indication when he plays what the ordering of the position is. It is as follows. 49 touches for Elijah Mitchell, 2 for Trey Sermon. 122 snaps for Elijah Mitchell, 3 for Trey Sermon. I think if you can get, you know, if you can get anything close to what you paid for Trey Sermon, do it. Because it feels like very much a Royce Freeman type situation right now, and that's just annoying. And I don't trust Kyle Shanahan either. Leonard Fournette is 3rd in the league in routes run, which is just outrageous. Points per route run for Leonard Fournette, 1.31. I will say this. You can say a lot of things about Leonard Fournette's career. One of the major, major mistakes was that he couldn't catch the ball. That is just an incredibly bad prediction and bad process for people that were saying that about him when he was in Jacksonville. That absolutely wasn't true. And I'm glad he has sort of shown that. And it's funny because not only is he, it was for a while like, oh, well, he just was that guy in a really bad offense. No, this is like the best offense in the league, and he is just dusting Geo, for example. Like, he is running an elite amount of routes, 28 routes this week with Geo back to 8 for Geo without Geo. He had 37 routes run last week without Geo. It led the league. Again, 1.31 yards per route run is terrific. It's a smash situation. He's a running back too. Like, I think you can feel confident starting him. This isn't even a touchdown-based running back too. Like, this is a usage where, hey, he could get some touchdown variance and break his way for a running back one type performance. So he's fine there. Derrick Henry is really good with receptions. And McNichols is really playing well as a receiver. Like, those are the two takeaways out of Tennessee. And Washington, Gibson's running back 12, and basically, you know, just under, 50% in terms of the receiving points and the routes run there for the running back position. So he's basically just underperforming his share of routes in terms of running back receiving game points. But again, 50-50. Just short of 50-50, he's at 44% in terms of the running back points, 47 in terms of the routes run there. So McKissick still heavily involved, but not anything to do major damage to Gibson. I think he can aggregate his way to a running back one season. Again, if anything happens to McKissick, you have a big breakout opportunity. All right, well, that'll do it for this episode, and you can check back in for your waiver wire stuff as we go along this week and your other snap reaction positions. Until next time, continue embracing the variance. We'll talk again very soon.